In a world where people live out their lives in dreary routine.
My real name is Lisa.
Of repetitive coma-like boredom.
My name is Megan Marie, and I am...
Filing the files, paying the bills.
I get enjoyment out of creating it. You know, just having a good time seeing people's reaction to it.
You can always put on a cape.
I'm dressed as Harley Quinn, Atomic Wonder Woman from the Infinite Crisis MOBA.
What the hell's going on right here?
Even I'm not too sure, but I'm riding a dinosaur.
Enter the world of...
This is the Nerd Prom.
The Nerd Prom.
This is like the Super Bowl and the World Series.
Comic-Con. Comics. Superheroes, conventioneers, 4 days of movie producers, deal makers, guys with big hammers, the whole shebang.
This is made out of a roll of paper and like a box.
More than 100,000 fans, writers, producers, would-be artists, visionaries... at one of the biggest pop culture events in America. New York's Javits Center becomes a bat cave of superhero faves.
I definitely don't want to be Wolverine. If anything, I'd rather be Storm, I think. She's got higher heels.
That's comic book artist and writer Phil Jimenez, who's currently drawing the character Wolverine for Marvel Comics, has a soft spot for Wonder Woman, to draw her and to be her. Phil Jimenez stopped by our studios on his way to Comic-Con to talk about the new PBS documentary, Superheroes, A Never-Ending Battle, along with filmmaker Michael Kantor, who's the producer, director, and co-writer of the documentary. How did comics get from the fringe of American culture to the mainstream in 75 years? Not exactly faster than a speeding bullet, but Superman pretty much led the way, first on the radio and then beyond.
Faster than an airplane, more powerful than a locomotive, impervious to bullets.
Up in the sky, look, it's a bird,
it's a plane, it's Superman!
Superheroes eventually conquered the world of pop culture, as Michael Kantor says, saving America from itself.
Well, the story of superheroes is a uniquely American story, born out of the Great Depression when people were looking for a Superman to save them. It seems as though superheroes flourish whenever the country is fearful, whether it's the Depression, World War II, the anxieties of the atomic age in the 60s, and with terrorism now. We're looking to have this feeling that there are characters out there who can represent the best in us.
And the anti-hero, of course, every bit as popular and perhaps maybe even more profoundly lingering than the hero, the superhero. Who are the anti-heroes that you are particularly fond of, Phil?
It's funny that you say fond of, because I generally find that I'm most fond of heroes who are the goody-goodies, who sort of espouse those Boy Scout ideals. I'm currently working with Wolverine, who I think is probably the most popular anti-hero that there is. And when we say anti-hero, of course, we're talking about someone who is not necessarily a goody-goody.
Dark, demons inside.
Demons inside, but still works for the greater good in whatever way there is. Might not be governable, might not be lawful, but they're trying to make the world better.
In this film, do you solve the perplexing puzzle of why it was Superman and Batman who were perceived to be safe enough for popular culture in the 60s and 70s? And it was only much, much later that we get Iron Man and X-Men and Watchmen, even for that matter.
Well, again, our series looks at how characters like Spider-Man spring up in the 60s, as does Iron Man. They're there, X-Men. Stan Lee creates a universe of characters, many of whom with alliterative names, Bruce Banner or Peter Parker. But
Hollywood doesn't touch them, really.
Well, Hollywood doesn't touch them till the late 70s when the Superman movie comes along, and I see that as a game-changer moment. Once the producers of that film proved to the public that a man could fly, that was their tagline. Since then, technology has caught up with the attributes of these superheroes. So humans can stretch and be invisible and be able, with super breath, to blow a planet in a different direction.
And be played by Scarlett Johansson at some point. Phil Jimenez, what is the sort of gender shift that's going on in superheroes? And if you go to Comic-Con... there's a well-represented female core these days.
It's my understanding that while there is a larger female audience, we still sort of live in a boys' club. At least superhero comic books do, because they still cater primarily to straight male power fantasy. So while there are some certain popular characters, Wonder Woman, Batgirl, you know, Storm, etc., they still are a minority. And generally, therefore, the male characters, you know, sexual exploits are still considered sort of sidebar characters.
So was your experience, you mentioned that Storm is a fave for you personally, but your experience with Wonder Woman, was that an exercise in tokenism or a real pushing of the envelope of the culture of comics?
My experience with Wonder Woman was fascinating because I think it's the experience that everyone has. Wonder Woman, like most female characters, particularly Lois Lane, tends to reflect the sentiment of feminism at the time. So you'll notice there's not just one version of Wonder Woman. There are about seven, and each one sort of represents the decade. I inherited a Wonder Woman that I tried to incorporate all those eras, the best of each of those eras, into my version with some success, some failure. But it was a fascinating learning experience. When I later wrote the Wonder Woman Encyclopedia, it buttressed the idea to me that men, including myself, writing women can always be a sketchy proposition, particularly characters who represent a sort of feminist or sexual idea or ideal.
Tolstoy may have been good at it.
Maybe. Comic writers, considering who we are and where we come from, it can be a tricky thing.
So why Never Ending Battle? Is that just because the subscription never lapses in the comic books? The series must go on?
One of the things that we were talking about earlier was the notion of heroism itself, what heroes are. And for me, Never Ending Battle sort of equates to this idea of what is a hero? What ideals do they uphold? What do I want to create? What sort of stories do I want to tell? And with what sort of character do I want to focus? I know what a huge influence superheroes were on me as a child, particularly Wonder Woman. And I'm sometimes troubled by the fact that those ideals are no longer or seem no longer important, particularly in pop culture. It's a much more cynical time, it feels like. And so the Never Ending Battle for me is to constantly push this idea that being a hero, that being good for good's sake, is actually a worthwhile and just cause.
So a hero at the 2013 Comic-Con is the artist who gets a big Hollywood deal and leaves a millionaire, or is that still a sellout?
That's a hero to some and a sellout to none, I think.
Sellout to none. That's 2013.
Yes.
Phil Jimenez, Michael Cantor, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Filmmaker Michael Cantor is the producer, director, and co-writer of the documentary Superheroes, A Never-Ending Battle. And comic book artist Phil Jimenez is a contributor in that documentary. It airs next Tuesday night on PBS stations.
My name is Stephanie Hansford, and I am calling from Cocoa, Florida. Spider-Man was my man. Every new issue, I watched him fight the bad guys, as well as deal with everyday issues like homework, high school problems. He's in a high-maintenance relationship, and you can't forget his poor old Aunt May. Caring about him as a human being, that really helped me respect him as a superhero. Spider-Man was my man.
Stephanie and Spider-Man, like that. From Hackensack, New Jersey, Wonder Woman, because she's a symbol of female strength and beauty. Dallas, Texas, Storm from the X-Men. She's such a strong woman with super morals and self-assurance. And
Winston from Detroit. I prefer superheroes that I have a chance of being. I don't have a chance of being anybody with superpowers or billions of dollars. That's why I prefer the Punisher and a guy named Scout by Timothy Truman. Thanks.
Thanks so much for listening. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.